Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast, where author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions and concerns that we all have about the topic of hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead should inspire us to invest the time we have left on earth wisely. Tune in for today's enlightening broadcast.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today we are going to discuss, is outer darkness in heaven? Some Bible teachers believe that at least two of the verses that state outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth are not referencing hell. They believe the one verse is contrasting the light of the feast to the darkness outside the feast and not to the darkness of hell. This is a story Jesus told about the marriage supper in heaven. And so they also believe the weeping and gnashing of teeth is because the man not wearing a wedding garment who is cast out realizes he was unprepared and cannot enjoy the festivities, and not because he is being cast into hell. Well, I believe the scriptures clearly state otherwise. Now here's the first verse.
In Matthew 22:13, it says, "But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'"
And now Matthew Henry's commentary says about that verse, "Damned sinners are bound hand and foot by an irreversible sentence." So most of the commentaries agree that this is really talking about hell, not about heaven.
Bill, why do you think in the first place they would even say that some of these verses are speaking of heaven?
You know, I don't know where they get that. I think it's just to soften the language of Jesus, you know, and exclude hell or people that would be going there.
So watering down hell, right? Again.
Because this person's going to hell, they're trying to keep him in heaven.
Gotcha. Okay. So, but, you know, first of all, Bill, this, you know, since this story is referring to the marriage supper in heaven, I mean, there is no darkness of any kind anywhere in heaven.
Right.
As we will look at those verses, I know ahead, but darkness is always associated with the demonic realm or with a man being in darkness without Jesus.
Right. And they're saying the darkness is just, it just seems dark outside the light of the festivities, but it's still heaven. I don't see how they get that. Like you said, there is no darkness at all in heaven. And secondly, if this verse is the man simply being excluded because he was unprepared and cannot enjoy the festivities, then why bind him hand and foot and cast him out? The words bind and cast doesn't sound like a heavenly act. You know, also, gnashing of teeth signifies extreme anger and even hatred. You know, there would not be anger or hatred in heaven. And then go ahead and read in Acts 7:54.
Yes, I know. This is another good example,
of
gnashing of teeth is, you know, when Stephen, he was brought before the council and the high priest for preaching about Jesus. And they questioned him, and Stephen told them that they were guilty of murdering Jesus. They became so angry, it says, they gnashed on him with their teeth and ran upon him and cast him out of the city and stoned him. So we see that the word gnashing represents extreme anger. I mean, to the point of murdering an innocent man.
That's right. Now, the second verse using that phrase is referring to the man who buried his talent and didn't invest it. Jesus said in Matthew 25:30, "And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So again, they believe this man was not cast out of heaven, just into a darker place in heaven. But, you know, Believer's Bible Commentary says, "Excluded from the kingdom, he shared the anguished fate of the wicked." So most of the commentaries, again, agree that he's cast into hell. Now, they believe the unprofitable servant is weeping because he has lost a reward in heaven. You know, however, Jesus called him a wicked and slothful servant in verse 26, just a few verses before. So a wicked person represents an unsaved person and never a child of God.
That's a good point. You know, and look at just a few verses here. In Psalms 9:17, it says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God." And Proverbs 11:23 states, "The expectation of the wicked is wrath." And lastly, Proverbs 15:29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked."
Right, so the Lord called him a wicked servant. That cannot be someone that's good. It's in heaven.
That's in heaven as a child of God.
He's being thrown out.
Yes.
Now, the third verse that uses the same phrase, outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth, is this, Matthew 8, 11 and 12. Read that one.
And it says, "And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And this is Jesus speaking.
Right. So same phrase, cast out of what? The verse says the kingdom of heaven. So that's clear that this is referring to being cast into hell. So the verse clearly references hell. So why would God have the first two verses referring to heaven and then the next referring to hell?
Yeah, that makes sense. That would bring confusion.
Right.
You know, I like what MacArthur's commentary says. He says that Gentiles in the kingdom with Abraham will enjoy salvation. Sons of the kingdom refer to the Hebrew nation. Physical heirs of Abraham will be cast out, weeping and gnashing. This expression describes the eternal agonies of those in hell.
Right. And then this next verse, Jesus repeats the story but gives more details. So read that verse.
Okay, this is in Luke 13, 24 through 29, through 29. And Jesus says, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will enter and will not be able, will seek to enter and not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open for us,' and he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know you. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity.' There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God."
So notice in both verses, the preceding verse, Matthew 8, 11, and this one, Luke 13, 24 through 29, the phrase, "they shall come from the east and from the west to sit down in the kingdom," it's used. Both phrases are used in both verses. It also says they will seek to enter in the kingdom of heaven, but will be told by God, "I do not know you," and they are cast out or thrust out. In addition to that, they are called workers of iniquity. So they are not known by God, cast out of heaven, and are workers of iniquity. This clearly refers to hell. Point being, both verses are referring to hell and not heaven. Now also, the use of the phrase weeping and gnashing of teeth is used in three other verses. So if two are referencing heaven and four are referencing hell, that would be contradictory and bring confusion. And we know God is not the author of confusion.
That's true. You know, and these next three verses are clearly referring to hell and use the phrase wailing and gnashing of teeth. But why would God group wailing and gnashing of teeth with outer darkness and mean heaven? Then in these next three verses, they use wailing and gnashing of teeth to reference hell. I mean, you're right, right. Bill, that would be confusing.
Right, these three represent hell, but they're saying the preceding two or three represent heaven.
Yeah, that
would be confusing.
That would be confusing.
And just quickly, these verses, Matthew 13, 42, "and will cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Matthew 13, 50, the same thing it says. Then Matthew 24, 51 says, "and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now the third verse further proves it is referencing hell, because we know that hypocrites go to hell. You know, in Matthew 23, verse 25 through 33, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! How can you escape the damnation of hell?" So these three are clearly referencing hell. Why would God use the same phrase and then represent heaven?
Yeah, very good point. You know, here's just a few verses that are regarding darkness. So we know darkness can't be in heaven. I mean, 1 John 1, 5 says, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 says, "We are children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness." John 8, 12 says, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world, and he that follows me is not in darkness." And Colossians 1, 13 states, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness." And lastly, Revelation 22, 5 says, "And there shall be no night here," speaking of heaven.
Right. So no darkness in heaven. That's clear. Now, hell is the place of darkness. just a couple of verses here, three verses. Lamentations 3:6 says, "He has set me in dark places as they that be dead of old." Jude 1:13, "Whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever?" Psalms 88:6, "He has set me in the lowest pit in darkness of the deep." So hell is dark, not heaven. Now, you know, in the vision God gave me, 23 minutes in hell, one of the things I experienced was that darkness. It was so dark, you could literally feel the darkness, as Exodus 10:21 mentions, because it just penetrates through every cell in your body. And to be in such a dark place like that, the wickedness, the evil that penetrates you, I just never forgot that darkness. But, you know, just to endure that alone would be horrendous for all eternity. You know, when I was once in Arizona and I went into a coal mine in a tour, and they took us down deep in the earth, and then for 1 minute they turn off the lights just to give you a feel of how dark it is. And within that 1 minute, people were screaming. They were terrified because you could not see anything. And if the lights never went on, you couldn't find your way out. You would not know where to go. And you don't realize when it's that dark how that affects a person. I mean, it's really tormenting to be in that kind of darkness.
I know what you mean. You know, when I was in my early 20s, I went on a scuba dive off of Catalina Island and with a group of people. And we all turned off our lights at the same time underwater. And this was a night dive. So when we turned off our lights, immediately fear is gripping you. I mean, fear of the unknown in the darkness, just the fear of you can't see. You can't see anything around you. And it's almost like it's automatic. When you're in that kind of pitch black darkness, the fear comes right along with it to grip you.
That's right. It really grips you too. So I know it's, you know, and we see so much fear and darkness on the earth today. I mean, it's just amazing the darkness that's been penetrating our land.
Yes.
Evilness, wickedness, lawlessness, and so forth.
Yes, it's definitely a dark time, as Isaiah 60 says, but the light will get brighter and brighter through this time, which is the light coming from the church and the Christian. So I really believe God's dealing with the church right now so that he's cleansing his church so that we can be that light in these very last of the last days.
Right, and many people are getting saved today and coming to the light, coming out of darkness.
Yes, all glory to God. So Bill, to sum this up, you know, then the Bible should be taken literally, again, to be bound hand and foot, cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, wicked and slothful servant, and I know you not, are all very clear phrases, clear language.
That's right.
That Jesus speaks.
Exactly. You know, in interpreting them to mean one will not enjoy all the benefits of the feast in heaven, that seems rather deliberate in order to soften the words of Jesus and who goes to hell. Now, I hope this information helps you decide for yourself.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to subscribe, rate this program, and share it on social media outlets. To stay in touch with us and learn more about this ministry, consider checking out our resources at soulchoiceministries.org.